economic realities. Think global, not local.
There's a war going on outside.
Stay away to the ways of the world. Believe me, people make the world go round. It's a sign of the time.
Get ready for this new world.
There's a war going on outside.
Stay away to the ways of the world. Believe me, people make the world go round. It's a sign of the time.
Get ready for this new world.
Take it a step further and inject your server with newer songs and better music and words to murder. A bigger platform to go over the globe and last on, hoping that many soon will catch on. Jersey and travel through mileage and it's frequent. Trips back to back to make sure the sound's decent. Home base days, creative juice flowing. Overfilled and growing, keep you all knowing. What's the goal here? We took the whole year and toured aggressively for souls to appear. To get the point across, we all out of loss. For the true shit, so we rock at all costs. Cats question why I went so far, and I explain they had the range for me to raise the bar. New tools to put the use for the building. This new world substance controls and start the healing.
There's a war going on outside.
Stay away to the ways of the world. Believe me, people
make the world go round. It's a sign of the time.
Get ready for this new world.
There's a war going on outside.
Stay away to the ways of the world. Believe me, people
make the world go round. It's a sign of the time.
Get ready for this new world.
07 kicked it off and started building relations. No mistaking the values to on with creation. We all agreed as one, embarked on a mission and hit the asphalt running soon everyone will listen. We got the fire that's strictly hard to find. In this life it is for music biz in the grind. Searching for ill lines for you to sip the time. Leading the blind with new tales from decline. Driven with the notion, we cram for promotion. For sales and stardom and put it out in the open. Smooth with the motion that many can't achieve. A high they couldn't see without the northern light trees. Breeze through beats and lay it down complete. With no rush job but a bus live at your feet. New world standards, lyrically outstanding. Together we improvise for all those demanding.
There's a war going on outside.
Stay away to the ways of the world. Believe me, people
make the world go round. It's a sign of the time.
Get ready for this new world.
There's a war going on outside.
Stay away to the ways of the world. Believe me, people
make the world go round. It's a sign of the time.
Get ready for this new world. Get ready for this new world. New world. New world. New world. Get ready for this new world. New world. New world. New world.
In what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free.
Toronto.
100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later,
Toronto,
The Negro is still languished in the corners of American society. He finds himself in exile in his own land. So we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, located at 995 would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds.
Be prepared to be entertained by the Hepcones as they celebrate their one night.
But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt.
Joining the Hepcones on stage will be Mr. Cool.
We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice.
I'm a good participant in this ass kicking debate. To take place in the middle of the street. Little did you know that being all out brawl. Soon as you heard the speech, emergency personnel rushed to the murder scene, but it's too late. It's absolute pandemonium. You're whisked away, and an ambulance is your fate. Nothing nobody told you when you left the house today. Could have made you anticipate with an ass whipping. Okay, till the anger dissipates, you get punched in the face. Reciprocate.
Good morning, CKLN listeners. It is the ninth day of December 2010. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Hopefully you enjoyed the work of Ms. Natasha Von Castle. It's been in 4 hours of funky wannabe somewhere warm soul. Because we need music. I got to tell you something. I was listening to, and sometimes I listen to talk radios. I was heading into town this morning from West O Toronto as your host, BK, a.k.a. VJ, here on CKLN's Rude Awakening Mondays and Thursdays. And I didn't listen to talk radio this morning. I decided to listen to do some hip-hop music and get my own thoughts flowing. And it's funny. Sometimes I listen to some talk radio and try and get inspired. I listen to some Alex Jones, Alan Watt, Webster Tarpley, Michael Shaw. Tons and tons of the Corbett Report from here in Canada, Richard Serrett Show. Tons and tons of great talk radio out there to listen to inform me so that I got a couple of things to say, you know, here on the show. But sometimes, I don't remember exactly what's said, or sometimes I just try and repeat what's said, and it's not exciting to me because, I haven't really thought of it. I haven't synthesized anything. I'm just sort of repeating something. But this morning I listen to music, and when I do listen to music, I do find that my approach to the exact same problems, whether they are personal or political, is vastly improved. And so, do keep that in mind out there, and do pass that on. When you see you know, certain evidence that that we as a culture are slipping in terms of our resolve to handle our business, to make sure things get better and not worse for ourselves and our children. Any little tips and techniques that we can pass on are ideal. Recommend music to each other. This used to be something that we used to do. We used to make mixtapes back in the day. Pass on music. You know, things are so temporal now. Things are so, you know, I mean, things move so fast, which means they have no value. And yet, if you have value and if your friends have value, then, you know, you can do this sort of thing for each other. Say, hey, you know, I know you, I know what you like, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, you know, but I can recommend some music to help you get where you want to go and get in a good mood. And that's why I recommend it. It keeps me going. You're not a different person. You're the exact same person. You're just in a better mood with more confidence to handle your business thanks to the artistry that is available out there and the impact that music has on your emotions. And what am I talking about? Well, here on Mondays and Thursdays on Rude Awakening, I do talk about the New World Order, the Old World Order, basically creating a new scientific dictatorship to permanently enslave the population of the planet and possibly depopulate us as well. And why do I talk about that? Why? Why would I talk about that? Jeez, depressing. What are you doing? Crazy? Well, I got to tell you, the reason I do talk about this is because in our culture, while it's not cool to deal with anything serious, what ends up happening is if I were to soft sell this, then I would get in the habit of soft selling it, and I wouldn't know how to hard sell it later. And that's what ends up happening to a lot of us. Like, yeah, I know about the New World Order. I know about the Illuminati. I know about this and that. But yeah, I'm cool. I'm hip. I get it. You know, whatever. And then they don't really look into it or how to stop them or have they been responsible for, you know, things being messed up for so long and things getting even more messed up for more people. You know, we just sort of settle with their existence, and that's a danger. So, you know, you got to go out there and go pretty hardcore against it. Alex Jones is the guy who's great at this. They're introducing telescreens, Orwellian-style telescreens at Walmart's. Big, you know, TV screens with government messages saying, spy on everybody, report something suspicious at 600 Walmart's in the U.S. In the next few months. So this is where it's going. And, you know, we got to figure out what that means. Folks. They are coming for our guns, guns, ultimately. And what does that mean? Well, disarmed populations have always been enslaved, and that is why there is so much legislation out there to control guns, and why there's so much media demonization of guns. And what does that mean? What does it all add up to? It all adds up to a plan to make us incapable of ever fighting back against them again, which means this is on a multitude of fronts. Just a quick check of Infowars.com here. The death of free will. And this is from Charlotte Thompson Iserby. She's now in her 80s, and she's someone who is an expert on the deliberate dumbing down of America and the world. You can go to deliberatedumbingdown.com for her work. This is Charlotte Thompson Iserby writing for Infowars.com on December 8th after appearing on The Alex Jones Show on December 7th. The last nail of so-called school reform is being struck in the coffin of traditional American education, which made our nation the envy of the free world and which produced famous scientists, engineers, mathematicians, writers, artists, musicians, doctors, etc. And this is also goes for Canada and worldwide, because UNESCO, run by Julian Huxley, the brother of author Aldous Huxley, is behind this. UNESCO is the United Nations Education and Standards Cultural Organization, something like that. So this is a global standardization process. Reform's not new. It started in the early 1900s with John D. Rockefeller. His director of charity for the Rockefeller Foundation, Frederick Gates, set up the Southern Educational Board. In 1913, the organization was incorporated into the General Education Board. The board set in motion the deliberate dumbing down of America. In Frederick T. Gates, The Country School of Tomorrow, Occasional Papers, No. 1, General Ed Board, New York, 1913, that's the publisher, was a section titled A Vision of Remedy, in which he wrote, "Is there aught a remedy for this neglect of rural life? Let us at least yield ourselves to the gratifications of the beautiful dream that there is. In our dream, we have limitless resources, and the people yield themselves with perfect docility to our molding hand." He's talking about the ruling class and how to manage the people like sheeple. "The present educational conventions fade from our minds. Unhampered by tradition, we work our own goodwill upon a grateful and responsive rural folk. We shall not try to make these people or any of their children into philosophers or men of learning or science. We're not to raise up from among them authors, orators, poets, or men of letters. We shall not search for embryo great artists, painters, musicians, nor will we cherish even the humbler ambitions to raise up from among them lawyers, doctors, preachers, politicians, statesmen, of whom we now have ample supply." The above quote sounds like something from one of the public-private school-to-work tax-exempt foundation partnerships involved in the Reinventing Schools Coalition agenda, as well as other innocuous-sounding current-day initiatives that are being implemented across the nation. And what does that mean? Well, that means that through our education system, our brains are prepared to accept the changes from the rest of our culture. And that's what we can see happening right now. When you see people who go, "Oh, I don't feel like it, I don't want to learn about it, I don't know, you know, who cares," and this sort of thing, it's because they've been conditioned over a period of years. So we can't hold this against any individual. Nobody out there can you know, be held totally responsible for their feelings about this sort of thing. But we do have to get around this somehow, and so it's good to know. And so you can go to deliberatedumbingdown.com to see Charlotte Iserby's work and get her book. Her book is available for free. It's a 7-megabyte PDF MP3, or you can order copies at Infowars.com or from deliberatedumbingdown.com. It is almost out of print. And she's quite brilliant in her analysis. She also said a few years ago that unless we deal with the United Nations issue and how the United Nations is basically drafting policy at the international level and implementing it at the municipal, state, and federal levels throughout the world, unless we deal with them, all of our other causes are for naught. And that's something people have to know, is that you know, unless you know the big picture, you're going to be fooled into doing something that advances the bigger agenda. The situation right now in the media with the cops and the G20 summit. You know, one week it's cops absolved of you know, all charges by the SIU, Special Investigative Unit. And so it seemed like the cops were winning. And then, you know, on the cover of the Toronto Star just yesterday, a cover story showing, you know, pictures of cops identified by their names on their outfits. And as being witnesses to crimes and pictures of the crimes themselves and the obvious mistakes by the SIU in terms of figuring out what exactly happened or cover up. But the point is that one week it seems like the public's winning, one week it seems like the cops winning, and back and forth. This is the dialectic push-pull process they use to advance the agenda and get us hating each other and fighting each other, and yet ultimately instituting more control, more surveillance of the cops, so they have to carry out more criminal orders, and if they don't, then they'll be fired, and more surveillance of us as well. And 100 new cops that Rob Ford wants. Who knows? Maybe that's revenue generation to make sure he can slash the budget and still have the money. Anything's possible. But right now, there is a worldwide revolt with people buying silver. A couple weeks ago, it was $25. A couple months ago, $16. It's now over $30. So Max Kosar on the Alex Jones Show is going to take us into what he launched on the Alex Jones Show fairly recently. This is from a few days, from about a week ago, and there's more recent work available at Infowars.com from Max Kosar or MaxKosar.com. This is Max Kosar on the worldwide move to silver, something we should all get behind.
To short, to circuit the shorting of silver by J.P. Morgan, their naked shorting, that is now in the London Guardian. Silver's up 9% in the last month. The supply is dwindling. Even mainline analysts are saying this is the Achilles heel, the soft spot on the dragon's belly, the unshielded exhaust port on the Death Star, whatever you want to call it. It's the sweet spot. And I was talking to Max during the break. He was telling me this is a self-fulfilling prophecy. The Hunt brothers were billionaires, but they had no power compared to millions of people going out and buying silver and taking physical possession. Please continue, Kosar.
Right. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's a virtuous circle. If the more people participate in this, the higher the price goes, and the more people will therefore participate in this.
They can't take secret stores of silver and dump it to try to knock it down? Well, the answer is even if they did that, it would beach ball back up, correct?
Well, the only thing they can use to knock it down is paper silver. But yet, at this point, all the new paper being generated is creating inflation. You see that right now. It's hitting in surges in
which drives up the silver again.
Exactly. So the more they try to attack it with paper silver, the higher the price of silver goes. We've got them in a corner.
Well, for the first time in some foreseeable memory, and I'm talking to coin shops, I'm talking to people on the ground, I'm talking to Ted and other brokers, I'm making phone calls about this last month, we see gold and silver versus what the public price is pulling away in the real world for what it sells and running out. That looks like we could be entering a zone where it really explodes in price.
Yeah, there's scarcity. There is silver scarcity. And anytime you introduce scarcity into a market, there's a price discovery mechanism kicks in. At
supply
a
and demand.
Price. That's a higher price.
So,
hello?
Yeah, no, I'm listening to you. So where do you expect this to go in the near term?
Well, it just keeps going higher because you've got massive buyers and very little supply. And as we've said, the only way to stop it is by throwing more paper at it. But that only encourages people to buy more physical. So we've got them, you know, by their short hairs. There's nothing they can do to defend themselves here. They can keep throwing paper at it. They can keep settling contracts with paper. But that paper is inflating the system and increasing the purchasing power of the existing silver. Now, $500 silver is a doable target if this thing continues to go on a global scale. And you've got, and I'm getting videos from all over the world. People are in participating in this all over the world. So that $500 target is doable. That means that the banker's fiat paper witch's castle has collapsed, and everyone is sitting there with real money to have a real economy and a real democracy with. As the Founding Fathers stated in the Constitution, there shall be no money recognized other than gold and silver. It's a constitutional mandate. The fact that there's fiat paper today is unconstitutional. The Founding Fathers figured this out 200 years ago. They knew that if you let banks create fiat money, that they will use that fiat money to monopolize and enslave and to create all kinds of mergers and acquisitions that they're doing now. Exactly what is happening now is what they knew would happen. This is why they outlawed paper money. Only gold and silver was money. Now we've got a global insurrection against banking occupation. The global banking cartel is everywhere, and now this is a global effort to take back people's wealth by buying silver, by exchanging the slave currencies of the dollar, pound, euro, and yen, and others for real money.
You are free
right
now.
MaxKeiser.com, K-E-I-S-E-R. There's a great photo that somebody sent me. It's a Photoshop version of a very famous Times Square photo. If you back in the 60s, John Lennon and Yoko Ono took out big billboards in Times Square that said, "War is over if you want it." And somebody sent me a Photoshop version of this that says, $500 silver if you want it. And that's really gets to the message here. If people around the world want $500 silver, that's exactly what they'll get, because all they have to do is go out and buy a couple of ounces of silver, and they'll get $500 silver. This is a mass global movement to stop the terrorists, just like back in the 60s, you had a mass movement to stop the
trouble. In communist Canada, corporate the tape and mouth shut, slap a strangler. Trouble. In commie Canada, crack a boo, crack a big smile, slap a handler. Trouble.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. That was Max Geiser on the Alex Jones Show. This is going worldwide. There are YouTube videos up there. I saw one made by a guy in Toronto who bought some silver at the Gold Stock Exchange fairly recently at the corner of Yonge and Dundas. Thinking of doing, or silver rather, thinking of doing that myself. But definitely a good idea to promote this, because J.P. Morgan it basically owes a ton of money in silver, and if the price goes up, they're kind of screwed. That's an oversimplification of the Keyserian theory, you know, on that. But it's working. People are, you can see the price going up. It's now over $30, and it's just flying up there. So again, 10 years ago, silver was $5 an ounce. Gold was $267. Now silver's $30 an ounce, and gold is about $1,450. So you can see, you know, the drive in precious metals, but the metals themselves aren't actually going up. It is the value of dollars worldwide that are going down, which makes those metals more expensive to buy. And silver, why do I like silver? Well, because it's a better buy for more people. It's cheaper. You know, there's many places you can buy it from, you know, around Canada. Be careful. If you go through a bank, it'll be a bit more expensive. But if you go through a private broker, you can get physical silver, not silver certificates, which I don't recommend, but physical silver, and then put it in a lockbox at a local bank. And for those of you folks out there listening to this show, to Rude Awakening here on CKLN Radio, you'll know that I've been advising this for over a year now, and certainly more heavily in the last few months, partly in conjunction with the Max Keiser campaign, launched on the Alex Jones Radio Show at Infowars.com about a month ago. And it's doubled in value in the last 2-3 months, and you can't name another investment that's done that, or can't name too many investments, excuse me, that have done that. Back to Infowars.com here from Paul Joseph Watson, critics of Big Sis Walmart spy campaign branded insane. According to the driving force behind Big Sis creepy Walmart spy campaign, the state encourages Americans to report on each other to authorities, cause you unease. You're insane. Similar to our critics of informant programs were branded mentally ill and persecuted in the former Soviet Union. In what has been dubbed the Battle of Walmart by the New York Observer, the controversy over Big Sis Jan Napolitano's announcement that Homeland Security messages encouraging shoppers to, quote, report suspicious activity without telling them what constitutes suspicious activity will play at Walmart checkouts has, quote, set off a rebellion among the conspiracy crowd, a number of whom are the store's core customers, writes Aaron Gell from the New York Observer. So, there you go. They're putting in telescreens at Walmart, and they're branding critics of this insane. You can see what happens here in countries that are going communist or neo-communist in this new global corporate banker, corporate mafia, scientific serfdom. You can see what they're going to do. They're going to talk about anybody who talks about this as crazy. And yet, is it crazy to talk about it or crazy to not talk about it? What should we normalize? Logical or illogical reactions? On that note, I'm going to take you to Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com discussing mass mind manipulation, so we get a handle on what's been happening and how we can get out of it.
Almost a fictional world now. Most folk really do. They live in the world of television and movies and incredible indoctrination, which they're unaware of. I've gone through some of the history of Bernays, who was one of the characters put forth on the world stage by masters behind him, of course, who taught him all the arts of manipulation, and manipulation really on the masses, for mass manipulation, using their unconscious desires and all the rest of it. And it's quite astonishing to see how well it works, which meant to me, as far as I'm concerned, these weren't trials he was doing. He already knew that these particular techniques worked. And I've often mentioned the word technique, and you'll find it in scientific circles. You have to look into the word to see what they're referring to. It's very, very important. I mean, whole books have been written on the word technique, because it's all to do with what manipulates and motivates you and how to do it, basically. Yesterday I touched on one of the organizations which the British government uses all the time to alter the behavior of the British people. The US does the same, Canada's got the same too, and it does work. It does work with all peoples. The same techniques work with all peoples. And I mentioned on Mindspace, that's one of the companies that they use in Britain. And the problem was that they had years ago, as you see, they used to think, and Bertrand Russell was through this in his own book, The Impact of Science in Society, and the Scientific Outlook. He said, we used to think, and he was writing back in the 40s about this, he said, we used to think people really worked on logic and reason. And so they used to give to the public what they claimed were facts. Of course, they lied always to the public, the governments always do. But they hoped that people would toss these facts about and come to the desired conclusion. And then they found out, no, people work on different mechanisms, really. We work on unconscious influences, etc. And that's why Russell and others in the Macy Group and so on decided to get the big psychologist organizations on board. And the behaviorists have got in the act as well. Today they call it neuroscience. It covers a wide area. And neuroeconomics, which is also part of it too, using psychology to change your economic habits and the way that you live. Remember, Skinner too talked about changing people's behavior. He said the easiest way to change it is to alter something in the environment, or put something in the environment that wasn't there before. And in came television, of course, and he was also referring to that as a good medium for getting the messages across. Before that, there was radio. People started to listen to radio. And when you're listening to something, you're not talking to each other. So immediately your behavior is altered. You don't converse as much when that radio is on. Same with television. Television's far better because it has the added visual aspect to it as well. It's hypnotic. And even if we've all experienced this, visiting people's homes where the television is on all the time. And even if they have to turn down the volume to talk to you, and you can see they're annoyed, they keep the television screen going so they can watch it, and they're watching it even while you're talking, and they're answering you. They're watching the TV. The TV takes over the prime position in the household, and everyone knows that too. That's where they gave you high definition and plasma and all the rest of it too. Better techniques to draw you into that conditioning aspect of behavior, your behavior. Now, if you look into the very little they give you, of course, in mind space for the general public, because they don't want you to know everything that they're doing to you, they actually have some categories listed on how they've worked out the sciences on the human mind. And it says, we've arranged the effects according to the acronym mind space for messenger, as M, and I for incentives, norms, defaults, salience, priming, effect, commitments, and ego. And under messenger it says we're heavily influenced by who communicates information. They further go on to describe that someone an authority figure, you see, like an expert, a scientist, someone who they've made to be well known. And I've gone before how the Macy Group and other groups actually created scientists to be front men, really, for political change. They gave them star status. And so you tend to believe them more than you believe anyone else, or your next-door neighbor, or yourself, for that matter. Incentives, says our responses to incentives are shaped by predictable mental shortcuts, just like a computer, you see, such as strongly avoiding losses. So they can give you incentives to gain what you think is you're going to gain something, or they'll give you penalties, such as, if you don't comply with this, we'll have to fine you, or something like that, you see. And then norms, we're strongly influenced by what others do. Again, going back to Russell, who's a big mover and shaker in the system you're now living in, with the world agenda, by the way. and with the world's biggest leading think tank at his time and still today. He said the same thing, that people are influenced by peer pressure. And if you can get the majority to go along with it, all the rest must follow, or they'll be forced into going along with the rest of them. Or they'll be ostracized by society. Simple techniques that they watched happening in school. Because school children, you see, are very cruel. And if some girl comes in with old-fashioned clothes, as they call them, and you're not in with the latest trend, they really are cruel as can be to that person. If you want to join the gang, you have to dress like the gang. And then you go into defaults. We go with the flow of preset options. Go with the flow. In other words, we always take the easy way, what's presented as easy. So they nudge you to go with the easy decision, you see. That's where nudging comes in. And your computer does the same thing. There are people who nudge you to go along. Would you like to do this, or you should do that, and blah, blah, blah. That's all called nudges. Do you really want to look at this website? Nudge, nudge. And, as I say, defaults, we go through the flow of preset options. And then salience, our attention is drawn to what is novel and seems relevant to us. So novelty grabs our attention. Of course, they all use sex and everything else, too. That grabs the attention. That's always been the way. And anything to grab your attention and then give a message attached to it, you see, that's relevant to you, or seems is the word, relevant to you. Because you're being conned. It must seem relevant to you. Priming. Our acts are often influenced by subconscious cues. Subconscious cues are given to you all the time, so they prime you without you knowing it. A lot of your cues have already come by watching dramas. Coronation Street in Britain is the longest running drama or soap ever invented, run by the British government. I mean, it's run too by psychologists, psychiatrists, and all kinds of professional people. And what they did in Coronation Street, and still do, is to present conflicts that will happen in the multicultural society as time goes on, and all the arguments will come into family lives and so on, and disruptions, and how to cope with it, because you will actually copy the solution of the characters you identify with on the actual show. I'm not kidding. It's no kidding. It's amazing, isn't it? And it's been awfully successful. Because obviously there's going to be a lot of conflict when different cultures clash with each other and are crammed into small spaces and cities, already overcrowded cities. Then the effect is your emotions, you see, in your moods. Our emotional associations can powerfully shape our actions, and so they give you tribal symbols, the flag, national anthems, guys winning, always winning against all odds and stuff. That gets you going. You feel part of the tribe. Many different ways to do it. And they can also give you the wrong kind of imprints. It doesn't mention it here, but they can imprint your brain with an idea by reversing what's actually happening, as in what group is kicking in the head of whatever other group in a drama or a movie. It can make you feel bad even though you're not there kicking someone's head in. That's used off all the time too in movies and so on. It could be the other way around, which often is. Commitments, it says, we seek to be consistent with our public promises and reciprocate acts, you see. So getting you to actually comply and mentally promise to go along with something is something that you feel guilty of backing out of. And then they play in your ego too. We act in ways that make us feel better about ourselves. We're all in it together. You're doing your part, aren't you? You're doing your part. These techniques have always used in wartime as well. And they use it with all the new political correctnesses out there, all the different kinds of. There's so many varieties now and areas of political correctness that you have to conform to as you're manipulated en masse.
Grow your own food. Tell me what's gonna happen when them stoves close. And they ain't gonna open up no more. That's the reality. Yeah, you gonna feel that. Hunger's your enemy, but you can't kill that. You wake up. Don't join the army. Kill your own people, but fear Illuminati. They ain't even real, or are they? But you wouldn't even know, because you partake talking much. If you start to doubt, they already in your mind.
When
coming out your mind.
When the hearse rolls by, that someday you are going to die.
And we're back. CKLN listeners here on the 9th of December, 2010. You're listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening. That was Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com talking about a century of mind manipulation through television and through think tanks and foundations and psychologists and experts trying to carefully manage us as a population. Start off the show today with a clip from Martin Luther King giving a speech at the National Mall in Washington, talking about how the promise that America made to its citizens, its black citizens, was unfulfilled. And I got to say, you can expand that to everybody. I mean, here in Canada, you know, we thought, you know, get a house and then maybe get a cottage. Now, people don't talk about getting a house and getting a cottage. They just talk about, man, I hope I can pay off my condo in 25 years. And that's crazy. And that's you know, and it's nothing against anyone who's made any decisions in this. We all have to, you know, we're all busy. We're all doing our thing. It's just that overall, the big picture is looking a little scary out there. And so we do have to fight back against this. And there's a lot of ways we can do that. We can burn DVDs and pass them on. We can make flyers and pass them on. We can share web links. One of the most important things is normalizing and empowering reaction to this sort of thing. Even people out there who blog or who make videos or who make songs or who do anything, at least when they hear something bad, they get inspired to do something about it. And that's a big key, because otherwise we normalize the reverse reaction, which is the one engineered by the mass media as well. But there is some good news. There's always good news mixed in with the bad news, and that is that vaccine. Judge refuses to order vaccinations by Kevin Martin from the Calgary Sun, sent to me by Dean Nicholson from Canadians for Health Freedom at CanadiansForHealthFreedom.org or the NHF, the National Health Foundation or National Health Federation or NHF Canada, which she is an executive director of. So here we go. Kevin Martin, Calgary Sun, judge refuses to order vaccinations. Vaccinations aren't, quote, essential medical treatments. A family court judge has ruled in refusing a child welfare request to order inoculations for four kids. Judge Stephen Lipton, in a written decision released Thursday, said while vaccinations are preferable, it wasn't in his power to order them. Child welfare had applied for a ruling to have the siblings immunized despite their parents' decision not to allow the treatment. But Lipton said the four children, ranging in age from 1 to 12, weren't at any present risk, so no court intervention was warranted. Quote, I find that on the facts of this case, the vaccinations proposed by the caseworker don't fall within the definition of essential in the legislation, Lipton said. The children are healthy and none of them are at imminent risk of serious harm. Lipton noted the dangers of not getting immunized would expose the children to risk of contracting illnesses which could cause brain injury or death. The mother refused to allow vaccines for her children while the father suggested herbal medicines would be effective. And again, this is Kevin Martin, the Calgary Sun from December 2nd, 2010. So that's fantastic news, especially for folks out there who know about the dangers of vaccines and the fact that we're not told many of the risks of vaccines. You know, U.S. vaccine courts have paid out over $1.5 billion in injury claims, and this is special court set up just to handle these outside of the regular courts, and that's insane because then juries can't decide, you know, the value of the damages. But these vaccine courts do, and they have paid out $1.5 billion. There have been many cases over the years, but they haven't been widely promoted. And yet, if we publicize these cases and other advocates, you know, on the vaccine issue, then you know, we can let people know that there are active communities promoting this. And this also reveals the complicity of the mass media to cover this up. Because when parents for the last 30 years have been seeing the damage done by vaccines to their children, and I've made a huge stink about it, including at some of the highest political and judicial and legal levels, and it's not covered by the media every time there's a new round of go get your vaccine stories, then you know you can understand, we can all understand, you know, how we can't necessarily trust the information that they provide us on a regular basis, especially on this issue. Go to VRAN.org as well. I always shout out VRAN.org as a great place to get more informed about the vaccine issue and as a place to pick up legal exemption forms. All you got to do is download the PDF in French or English from their website, which has a copy of the 1997 Immunization of School Pupils Act, and then you take that to a notary. You give him $25. He certifies that you haven't photoshopped this and made it up yourself, but that it is, in fact, a legal document. and you put a copy of that in your child's medical folder. Why? What is the point? Why would you bother doing this? Well, I'll tell you why. This is from Christina England at VactTruth.com, VactTruth.com, and it says here, police arrested 12-year-old boy for refusing vaccine at school. And this is what happens when your kids are stuck there alone and got to go, I don't want to take the shot, and they flip out. A child of 12 was charged with, quote, threatening behavior at his school in Bowmanville, east of Toronto, last week. The arrest happened when the boy, who cannot be named for legal reasons, threw a tantrum for refusing the hepatitis B vaccine, the National Post reported. And there's a link to the National Post story here on this. That police were brought into the Ross Tilley Public School because the boy had threatened to damage the school. Unfortunately, the report failed to give the reason why the child was refusing the vaccine or what made him so angry. And you can see what made him so angry. the idea of being vaccinated when he didn't want to and when he didn't think it was worth it. But if you go to VRAN.org and you pass that on to everyone you know, then parents can make the proactive decision to get legal protection by using an official government document with a legal exemption form and, you know, to make sure their child doesn't go through this at school wherever they go to school. And so there's a you know, another tip for you. Super, super important. I'm noticing out there, a lot of people don't talk about their kids as much, and in fact don't talk to their kids as much, and then are less impressed by their kids, less amused by their kids. Your children should be a constant source of amusement for you, and if they're not, part of it might be due to their diet, injections, or injunctions of various psychological and physical natures. And that includes things like, you know, aspartame in their food, MSG in their food. You know, by taking groups of children and groups of prisoners off this stuff, things have been done in both cases. They found that people were much less violent, in a much better mood, and you could see how their brain's chemistry was being altered by these substances once they were freed from their diet. So there's a little tip for you, because kids, you'll see a couple of two-year-olds. One's slow as heck and timid, and one's, you know, bouncing off the walls and having a blast in the life of the party. And you got to wonder, what the heck is going on here with our two-year-olds when they're that different? And that's because, of course, there is a giant eugenics plan to dumb down, dehumanize, rob, and murder us. And that's something that we do have to pay attention to. I'll even give you an example here. Here's a YouTube clip saying reducing population is the master variable at a climate conference that took place fairly recently. And this is from YouTube, and this is courtesy of CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, who linked it.
As a scientist who studied this, if I didn't mention the following two things. The first is that, most importantly, we need to do, as a society in this country and globally, whatever we can to reduce population. It's the master variable that controls everything. And what I mean by this is not just in the developing world, where it's a known fact that empowering women has been a proven strategy to make healthier, wealthier, and smaller families. All countries, we have a population problem because our per capita emissions are higher than anybody. Yet, we continue to have, and this is true in every industrialized country, lots of tax benefits, encouragements to have more and more. Our whole economic philosophy is based on growth and growth of our population, and this madness has to end.
This madness has to end. That is a scientist from the NOAA, the National Ocean and Atmospheric Administration in the United States. I'm saying that at a climate conference because there is a plan here to deindustrialize us. And they're using the threat of global warming. Now, if you folks out there haven't been out there yet, I got to tell you, if there is any global warming, we're not feeling it because it is insanely cold out there. And it's been cold since March 2007 when they launched this. And yet, if you go to the Chapters or Indigo Bookstore, you'll still see articles there on climate change, including one which seeks to explain that the ClimateGate emails released in November 20th, 2009 that showed the top UN climate scientists were lying. Know they're lying and practice ways to lie better. Weren't as bad as they were. Well, they were as bad as they were. They showed the whole thing is a fraud. thought up by the Club of Rome, one of the giant think tanks in the world, making giant plans. This is one of the toughest things for people to understand here. Alan Watt from CreditToTheMatrix.com has explained this a number of times, that these people work in time. They don't work in days, they work in decades. You can say, you know what, violent TV, violent music, violent video games, you know, they don't have any effect on us. But that's if you just play them once. But over the course of 10, 15, 20 years, the people at the top who introduce these ideas to our culture and promote these different values know what kind of effect they're planning on having on us. So, you know, we're in Sodom and Gomorrah, and before we find out what a Gomorrah is, you know, let's try and recover. Article from the Hip Hop website talked about how in Oakland, California, hi-fi music, the Bay Area music out there, was responsible for the rise in teenage prostitution. And then they talked to a few teenage girls who said, yeah, you know what, we're known for getting dumb, popping pills, and, you know, being certified hoes. And they'll say that, certified. You know, are you a certified chick? Are you a certified dime piece? You know, is it official? Oh, it's official. You know, these are ways of conflating government authoritarian control with what we like to do. And the fundamentals of it, the idea of dealing crack, you know, guys standing on corners waiting for guys twitching like a mofo to show up and score a couple little rocks off them being glamorized, is insane. But again, it is our culture, and, you know, we have to appreciate it and enjoy it as best we can. You know, so let's all try and do that, but let's recognize where we live, and let's recognize what we should be aiming for outside of this to make sure that we can achieve something more than just accepting where this is going. You can even go to keepachildalive.org, and you can go look at the Black Ball, which is a fundraiser for HIV/AIDS that was held recently. There's a giant picture of a pile of dead babies there, you know, as part of the display at this thing, where they raised a couple of $1 million. Alicia Keys, Jay-Z, and a few other stars were there. Not sure how much they know, but fortunately their digital death campaign was a huge flop, where they got a whole bunch of celebrities, Usher, Justin Timberlake, Ryan Seacrest, Lady Gaga, to sign off of Facebook and Twitter. In the first couple of days, they raised like $150,000. They barely got to $500,000 in a week when they thought they'd at least get to $1 million in a day so they could jump back on Twitter and Facebook. But a week later, they were only at $500,000. So a big pharma billionaire named Stuart Rahr donated another $500,000 to meet the $1 million goal, and resuscitating these celebrities so they could get back online and Twitter to us. And yet... The truth behind AIDS is more likely found at RethinkingAIDS.com and AliveAndWell.org, two organizations out there that reveal that HIV/AIDS, is part of the eugenics program, where basically they're using big pharmacide drugs to depopulate Africa, and they're now swinging the apparatus around to aim at us and our hypersexualized culture as well. Men and women are getting a little more violent out there. I was on the GO bus on Monday morning coming into the show. Young lady sat beside me, elbowed me like 3 times, just getting her stuff. And I didn't do anything. You know, she seemed like a girl in her 20s, didn't really notice her much. Tried to give her a bit of privacy while side by each on the GO bus. But then she stopped as I had these kooky thoughts in my mind, and maybe she sensed them, maybe she didn't. But I just struck me to think of a UK Daily Mail article where girls were drinking and fighting more. And in general, they're fighting more. Fist fights out there, and there's more violence being reported. So we got to understand that this is part of a plan to, again, dumb down, dehumanize, rob, and murder us. And we got to fight back against that. Before Monsignor William Watsoni, a.k.a. the great Bill Watson, takes you on a 4-hour jazz bungee experience, quick look at the Metro. Oh, no. Winfrey sets the record straight. That's Oprah Winfrey here. I'm doing her a big year-long sign-off. She and Bill Gates and a bunch of other billionaires like Warren Buffett and Ted Turner are part of giant conferences talking about how to control and reduce the population of the world. And it may sound benign to you, but the entire population of 6.8 billion people can have 12,000 square feet of land each in the continent of Australia alone. So there is no real overpopulation problem. There's simply a plan to stack us and pack us in compact cities and steal the rest of our resources, while at the same time dumbing down and reducing our population, making us more docile and leaving a smaller workforce of about $500 million for the elite to use. And that's why here on Rude Awakening, I do try and break this down so we can resist this. Revenge of the Pinkos from Don Cherry. Councilors show colors in response to Don Cherry's 3-minute speech and Mayor Ford's swearing in. And Councilor Janet Davis wore pink today for council to restore dignity to pink into the council chambers after Don Cherry's tirade against left-wing pinkos at the swearing-in of Toronto's new mayor, Rob Ford. And, of course, on the cover here, the Penguins' Sidney Crosby scores a second goal during last night's game against the Leafs. Child porn bust hits home, 57 suspects arrested, and yet they stopped looking. Keep in mind that pedophilia is being normalized in our culture at a dangerous rate. We think there's tons and tons of it out there, and it's isolating us and changing the way we look at kids and the way we look at each other and trust each other, all part of sowing dissent and divisiveness in our culture, something we have to combat against. We move too quickly. Premier and police step face up to G20 missteps. Again, the cover-up is on. They are teaching us how to think about this. These official apologies are supposedly embarrassing enough. Well, look, if you pass secret laws in this country, shouldn't you go to jail? Are we a fascist dictatorship where people can be allowed to get away with that? Let's get our heads straight and let's figure that out. Let's not allow the media to control our reactions to crazy things going on, because that's dangerous. Before I go here on this Thursday, I'd like to shout out a few websites. Infowars.com, a whole bunch of news on there, including the latest on WikiLeaks and the arrest of Julian Assange. Again, sounds like a big intelligence operation to me, and the crackdown on people who give out leaks, who share alternative information, who question the government, is in the offing based on this, as well as the internet and internet freedom. So definitely keep in mind out there, Infowars.com is a good place to learn more and then to share that information with others where you live to help fight it and help to counter some of the propaganda out there. Rapid reaction counter-propaganda teams, local freedom gangs, networking like LibertyGuard.org is doing in the States, where everybody carries a card to say they want to opt out of the TSA naked body scanning and aggressive groping. And they're a part of an organization like the ACLU or any other that's willing to help defend them, is something that we can consider doing here. Go to LibertyGuard.org for more on that. VRAN.org for legal vaccine exemption forms. NaturalNews.com for some of the best health news out there. FluorideAlert.org, still got to get the fluoride out of our water supply. Working on ways to do that. VigilantCitizen.com for a better understanding of celebrity culture and how it's controlled and by whom. And locally, PressForTruth.ca, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, the Conspiracy Culture book and DVD store at ConspiracyCulture.com. Also a great place for a news feed, courtesy of Mr. Patrick White, the proprietor of Conspiracy Culture book and DVD store. And, of course, the Toronto Street News put up by the venerable Victor Fletcher out there, a paper sold by the homeless for a couple of bucks. Flip Matoonies thing, get themselves a coffee, and get yourself some good karma as well as some good info from Mr. Victor Fletcher. But that's enough for me, folks. It's been a great Thursday. Hopefully you enjoyed this little spin around the Newsyverse. I am out of here. Have a fantastic Thursday. It's cold out there, so be a little careful. Dress warm. Take care of yourselves, and have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
Hip-hop took control. Back then, when my girlfriend's name was Nicole, rest in peace, her soul. We had fun, I think back. Child prodigy, gifted in black. Freestyling, we wildin', banging on tables. I still have fun, my trio run me and Babel. Living on cable, living on TV screen, internet, DVD. What does this all mean? My life is like a dream, but inside I wanna scream. Cause when I wear my sneakers and jeans, I feel 17. My mama just gets the cream, but has it in funny schemes to desecrate the art. I navigate my heart and delegate the spark to the mix. Wearing the crown, I ripped the shade, my vocabulary displays the fake, no mistake.